reading to you from the 24th chapter of Luke, and with the 4-6 verse. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Good evening, my dear and friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, energy normal converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 46 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, we've got a bunch of things coming up. I'm having a little problems last week with my blood pressure and a lot of things, and I urge you and I ask you to pray for me that that thing will be taken care of and I'll be back on my feet real good. I've been having real bad dizzy spells, and boy, I tell you, those are crazy. Well, listen, folks, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Would you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful opportunities that have been afforded us over the years. And I pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, you'll give me the strength and the courage and all these other things to go about your business, telling people about Jesus, going to prisons and rescue missions. Father, I pray for our great nation, pray for our president and all of the leaders, and I pray for our servicemen and women overseas and all of our allies that are standing with us. God bless them, Lord. Watch over them as they go in those caves. We know that that wicked man has got those things mined. So, Lord, we ask that you'll protect our men and women. And, Lord, you know the spiritual, financial, and physical needs of all of our people tonight. And I pray, Lord, you know the needs of this ministry. And I pray that you'll take care of them. And then, Lord, I pray that our people will stand with us for these Christmas baskets for the needy families. Hide me behind the cross. Lift up Jesus. Save that man on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, you know, I can remember the first class reunion that I ever attended in my hometown of the Dalles, Oregon. I was never so excited in my life. My stars in the morning, I hadn't seen my classmates for 45 years. Boy, did we have a lot of people there. But then also I kind of got disappointed. They had each one of us, there's about, maybe 100 or 100 so classmates there, and their wives and their husbands. And we had to stand up and tell people what just a thumbnail of what our life has been since we left high school. Well, there was a lot of my classmates were drinking mixed drinks and beer. And so I stood up and I said, my name is Cecil Moe. I said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I work in prisons and I have a radio broadcast. But I said, one of my biggest problems is what I see here tonight. And that's the fact that I've got my work cut out for me right here. And they all snickered because they knew what I was talking about. But it just made my heart sad to see all these intelligent, four or five of my classmates were doctors, surgeons. Some, a lot of them were attorneys. All of them, as most of them, have done real, real well. And then I'm the only preacher. But you know what? In my heart, I felt, well, I've done pretty good too, because I've had an opportunity to tell the world what Jesus did for me so many years ago. Well, then I went to my ship's reunion, first time. Oh, my stars, I hadn't seen those guys for years, and we had such a wonderful visit. And being I was kind of the leader in in the radio gang, and I was in communications, a whole bunch of my shipmates of the radio men came over to our room, and they were all snookered and full of booze and slapping me on the back and telling me, "You little rascal, how in the world did you end up being a preacher?" And, you know, since that time, I have sent tapes by the, well, I don't know how many, but I've sent lots of tapes to my shipmates telling them how to be saved, and witness to them, sending them books, sending them videos of my movie. And sometimes I wonder, oh, my stars, I wonder if they ever really, really wonder why I do that. The Bible has a lot of invitations in there that God has given to people. And, you know, he's still, to this very day, inviting people to come to him that he might give them eternal life. And when I think of those people over there in Pakistan and those Muslims, and then I think, my goodness sakes alive, they are telling their people that if they were to die, that Allah would take them right home. And that's not true, because Allah's not even a true God. It makes my heart so sick. And those two little gals, Presbyterian gals, went over there. You read about them, that they finally got freed. They went over there for one purpose, to share Jesus with those Muslims. And boy, did it infuriate them. You know, when I tell men in prison, I say, look, I'm not telling you to leave your church. I've never done that. All I've ever invited you to do was bring your sins to Jesus. Now, that's all I'm asking you and my listening family to do, is bring your sins to Jesus so that they may be forgiven, so that your name may be written in the Lamb Book of Life. And when this life is over, you've got a place in heaven for all eternity, where there'll be no more sickness, sorrow, no more disappointment. God himself will wipe away our tears. That's what the Bible says. First of all, we read about in Genesis 7:1, the Lord then said to Noah, go under the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. That was the most unusual true story in the Bible. Now, God, after he had made man and created heaven and earth, he realized that the sin had taken over, and the sin of unbelief, which, my dear friends, if you think about it, it's the worst sin that you can have, a sin of unbelief. There were many people out there in the wilderness died under the age of 40 because they would not believe God. Even he told them that they would go to a land of milk and honey. He raised up a great man, but nonetheless, they wouldn't believe. They saw miracles after miracles, but they would not believe. I hear a lot of these preachers on the broadcast and television talking about, you want a miracle? Come get a miracle. Oh, beloved, the greatest miracle I have ever seen in my life is when the Lord reaches down from heaven and touches a sinner's heart and turns their heart away from the world and to him, and he gives them a new heart of flesh and takes out the heart of stone. That, to me, is a greatest miracle. But he does perform miracles every day. But he does it to bring people to Christ. If I could do miracles, and, you know, I might... miracles are to bring people to Jesus, to make them realize his power, not to bring honor and glory to a human being or a man. You know what I'm talking about. These healing meetings are despicable. Not that God can't heal, because he does heal. But he doesn't make a circus out of it. He doesn't use it to con people out of money. No, he doesn't. No, but I see it every day. And then they'd get up and talk about their seed offering, and you send $1,000 to this ministry, and you're going to get all your bills paid. Why, this lady preacher down here in Denver says, hold up your billfold and say, Lord, fill it full of money, and he'll do it. Oh, don't tell me I'm lying. It's a true story. Now, the reason God had to get rid of the people on the earth was because of their sin. Why did he take out Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of their sin, and mostly it was sexual sin, and homosexuals and lesbians. But this particular time, he saw a man. One thing about it, dear friends, God knows your heart, and he knows my heart. He knows what we're thinking. He knows all about us. Well, he saw that Noah was a man of God, and so he told him what he had to do. Now, if I look back on it, that is the most, what a deal to make that huge ark when they didn't have chainsaws. They didn't have electric drills. They pegged things. I don't know how they did it. All I know that they did do it. And for this 100 and some years, Noah preached repentance to these people, and they hee-hawed him, and they laughed at him, and they said he'd been out in the sun too long, but he stayed faithful unto the Lord. And then the time came when the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. They loaded up all the animals, and the rains began to come. Friends, listen, I have been in the Orient, and I have been far east where I have seen typhoons and monsoons. You never saw such rain in your entire life. Well, it had to be that kind of a rain, because you know how that sand absorbs water, and all of a sudden, just like down in Texas, when the water, boy, I tell you, when it rains down there, there's no drainage, and so they flood. But nonetheless, these people kept watching Noah in that ark, and pretty soon the water was up to their waist, and they knew they were in a whole heap of hurt. And then they cried out, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. But you know what happened? The Bible tells me that God closed the door. And that ended their opportunities to put their trust in Jesus. Today he's asking you to come to the ark again. Only Jesus is the ark of safety. And they say, come son, come daughter, bring your sins to me, and I'll forgive them. And the reason I know that because he hung on that terrible cross and gave his precious lifeblood because he loved us. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wrote a love letter to the whole world, that they would come to him, he'd give them life. We read in Numbers 10:29, now Moses said to Hobah, son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Well, you know, later on, Moses' father-in-law came to Moses with some sound advice. He said, Moses, you're working too hard. You need to appoint one of the 12 leader in the 12 tribes and let them take care of the minor things, and you take care of the weightier things, because Moses was under the leadership of the Almighty God. Well, I know this, that Moses must have, oh my stars in the morning, he must have had a plate full. All those thousands and thousands of people. And they were hungry. Many times they wanted meat, and boy, God gave them the meat. A lot of them died because of their gluttony. And he kept a cloud over them at night and day so they could wouldn't be so hot. Not so terribly long ago, my son took me fishing. I hadn't been fishing since I'd been in Colorado, and he took me up way up in the mountains, and we went fishing. And we had a chair right down there, right by the lake. It's a stock lake, but boy, I never saw so much fish in my life. There was people all around this small lake, and all of them were catching fish. And I was catching fish, and I thought, man alive, what a deal. Well, I'm glad that I was invited that, because I didn't believe that there's that kind of fishing. When I was a little bitty guy, we lived in Odell, Oregon, and there's a little creek, I don't suppose is over maybe 4 or 5 feet wide, and the water was as crystal clear come out of Mount Hood. And boy, howdy, I'd go down there, 6, 7, 8 year old, and I'd get me a willow and tie me a nice fish line on the end of it, put a buckshot on it for weight, and toss it into that water, and I'd catch fish after fish, 10, 12, 13, 14 inch fish. Nowadays, the creek is pretty well small, and nowadays you have to have the most expensive equipment in the world. Boy, let me tell you, if you ever been deep sea fishing, those reels cost a lot of money, those big old poles and stuff. Excuse me. Then we read in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Now again, what I tell you a minute ago, that Jesus is waiting for you tonight. You might be a loser. You might be a drug addict. You might be an alcoholic. You might be a harlot. And those are the things that we think of as the worst sins in the world. We forget the sins of unbelief. But nonetheless, he says, "You come unto me, and I'll just turn those sins as white as wool." Boy, oh boy. And you said, "Well, Cecil, I don't understand it. This is your translation. I don't know whether you're right. I go to Methodist church, and they say one thing. I go to Baptist church, and they say one thing. I go to Presbyterian church, Pentecostal, Catholic, Mormons, Muslims." Who's telling the truth? The Word of God's telling you the truth. Let's read it again. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red as crimson, they shall be like wool." That's his personal invitation for you tonight. He doesn't care if you're black. He doesn't care if you're white. He doesn't care if you're poor or you're rich or you're ugly or you're pretty or you're short or you're tall or you're fat. Are you skinny? He just says, "Come to me." Boy, I don't know of a sweeter invitation in the world. Now, Isaiah 55:1, "Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Well, how many times have we said salvation is free, but it is not cheap? You hear me? It's free, but it's not cheap. See, you don't have to have any money to come to Jesus. I told you that. You don't have to have anything. But there's one thing that we all have, and that's sins. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Oh, I've heard people say, "Well, I didn't sin. I don't sin. I'm perfect." Well, that's a bunch of baloney. You know it's not true. The Bible said if a man says he's without sin, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. The only perfect person that's ever been on this earth was Jesus Christ. Now, when we leave this earth and we put on our other body, then, of course, we will be perfect. And we'll have no sin, because no sin will enter into heaven, nor will any marriage enter into heaven, or anything that's filthy will not enter into heaven. Now, you say, "Well, can I reform myself and get there?" No, beloved, you can't reform yourself. You need transformation, not reformation. Reformation, I reformed one time, 2 or 3 times when I was drinking so bad my family life was gone, and my wife told me that I had to get some help. And I said, help for what? See, I was in total denial. I did not think that I was bad enough to go to hell. And yet, deep, deep, deep down in my heart, when I was in the Aleutian Islands during World War II repairing submarines at 30 and 40 below zero, the wind blowing and snowing, I was invited by two men aboard my ship to come to a revival there at the submarine base. I went there, and the guy pointed his finger out, and he said, except you repent, you're going to hell. I said, no, I'm not. And I jumped up, and I run out of that building and went back aboard ship. They came back, and I said, why did you run out? I said, didn't you see that preacher point his finger at me and tell me I was going to hell? He said, no, Cecil. That was God's Holy Spirit pointing out your sin. And well, those two men, I thank God for them because they did absolutely witness to me. And I saw they didn't drink, they didn't smoke. They just was so much better than the rest of us. And we gave them a hard time. We made fun of them. We called them terrible names. But deep, deep, deep down in my heart, oh, how I wanted to be like them. Oh, I tell you, a good witness is a wonderful thing. In Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Now, I was burdened down with sin, and I did not know there was a way out. I didn't know anything about this scripture. But I know about it tonight, and I'm extending you that invitation. Come unto me, Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Jesus promises you that. I can't promise you that, but Jesus can. Your church cannot promise you that. Your preacher cannot promise you that. Your baptism, they can't promise you that. Only Jesus can. Read in Matthew 22:4. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Friends, you know what happened? The people did not want to come to the feast. No, they wanted to continue in sin. Friends, I would be telling you a fib if I told you sin wasn't pleasurable. Sure, it brings pleasure, but it's only for a season. And then you gotta face yourself. See, when we sin, God's Holy Spirit, He tugs at our heart and tries to bring us back and correct us. So that, you know, the Bible tells us that if we sin, He'll forgive us our sins if we'll confess them to Him. He'll forgive us all of our sins if we talk to Him and tell Him, I did thus, I did this, I did that, and He will forgive your sins. Now, so you don't have to worry about, say, well, I know I made a mistake now. Is it all over? No, it's not all over if you do what God said. But that's why we have the Bible, because that's what it tells us to do. But there were many times, and even in my ministry, how many times I've extended an invitation to my listening family, or extended an invitation in prison, or in rescue missions, and I've seen men turn their head, or hang their head, and they would not. And then I know perfectly well that they've hardened their heart just a little more. See, when you feel the power of God's Holy Spirit tugging in your heart, you need to respond. You need to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. Now, in Luke 14:17, at the time of the banquet, he said to his servants, to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. Now, everything is ready. Now, some of you people, and I did too, are eating swill at the devil's table. Why don't you come to the banquet table that Jesus has prepared for you and give you food, heavenly food? You know, the first day I was saved, oh, food tasted so much better. Oh, I slept like a baby that night because my sins had been forgiven and He'd given me peace. And that is exactly what He wants to do for you tonight, give you peace. You say, Cecil, I'm a Christian, but I'm not happy. Well, You know why? Are you doing your little pet sins? You know, I've heard, hey, I said something the other day and someone got mad at me. This guy said, can you be a Christian and drink? I said, yes, sure you can, but you're not a good Christian. That's right, you're not a good Christian. You're a poor excuse for a Christian, because I know people who will stumble over you and go to hell because they say there's nothing to Christianity. Look at that guy, does the same thing that the world does. Now let's close with Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Boy, howdy, that's the last invitation in the Bible. And he's right now, if you're not saved, he's tugging at your heart. And if you're a Christian and you're not happy, he's asking you to come back and confess your sins to him that he might forgive your sins. You got to tell him about it. You say, well, he don't know. Oh, yes, he does. He knows everything you and I do. He knows everything we say. He knows everything that we think. Oh, well, friends, let me tell you. The Lord loves you tonight. Satan wants to take you to hell. You say, well, I tell you, Cecil, one thing I'll tell you for sure. I can't serve a God that would take a man to hell. Well, first of all, God doesn't take you to hell. You yourself make that decision on this side of eternity. You say, well, I'll catch her after I die. Hey, listen, beloved. After you die, there's no hope if you haven't trusted Jesus. It's appointed unto man once to die and the judgment thereafter. Don't get that idea you can be saved after you die. Ain't going to work. Read the Bible. Well, anyway, dear friends, I want to ask you, is God tugging at your old heart tonight? Do you feel so helpless, so worthless, so lost, so condemned? Well, come to Jesus right now. Become as a little child and say, oh, God, I realize that I'm a sinner. Now, here's a prayer I want you to pray only if you feel God is tugging at your heart. Don't pray it in joke. It is serious business, and it can get you in a lot of trouble. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534? 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I just care where you spend eternity. So get on the phone right now while the Spirit is working in your heart and settle this once and for all, because he's standing with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.